There he is, complete with a guitar in hand. I'm on the drums. Oh, yeah. Oh, Patrick, good riff.
Play it
some more, Patrick.
I only wish.
Patrick Doyle with us here on The Dove. Hey, happy pre-Valentine's Day to you. You know,
hey,
we got a big Valentine's Day promotion that's coming up here.
Yeah?
Promotion, that just sounds so wrong. You can win stuff.
Okay.
How do you like that? You hear this big kiss on Thursday, and you're going to hear it throughout the day, and you'll be able to win all sorts of things. So you need to be listening for that. We want to make your Valentine's Day better than you can imagine, and I know you want to do that too, don't you?
Well, yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about Valentine's, but first I'd like to ask a question to our listening audience, and I would like for them to...
Oh, good. The pressure's off me.
Maybe... Well, you can answer too, but...
I don't know.
Maybe call in and give us their answer.
Them. Yeah, what's your question?
My question is, what does love have to do with fear?
Whoa. That's a question I don't know that people have considered. Put that in some sense of context. By the way, 776-5368.
What does love
have to do with fear?
Yes. There's a very clear biblical connection here.
You know, I'm coming up with something. It's probably way out in left field, but I don't know if you
Oh, come on, come on. I want to hear left field. I live in left field, yes.
I may be wrong. Okay. It has to do with... Okay, all right. Let's say somebody who's scared for the future and I'll be all alone, I've got to find someone to love who is my partner and companion, and it's not because of... I love them, but I'm needy.
I'm desperate.
Am I right?
There's a lot of that.
Oh,
so
see, you're doing a teacher's thing.
Yeah,
you're giving me
you're
throwing
wrong.
Me a bone.
That's
no,
not
you're saying that's not bad,
that's,
but clearly
not
it's
it.
Not the answer. Yeah. Thanks, Patrick.
You're right. Sorry, I have to take our consolation prize.
Here's
backstage.
The deal. I have tried and I failed miserably. So now, if you're calling in, you can call in and you'll only do better than I am. 776-5368. Again, the question is.
What does love have to do with fear?
Okay.
So you said something important there. You talked about being desperate. So I wanted to just throw – this is like a freebie here. Desperation in a relational sense lowers the bar. So if you're desperate, what you're willing to settle for is way different than when you're not desperate.
Okay.
And the answer to the question is going to help you with that desperation, if you're feeling it. And look, God designed us to want to be in relationships. So your desire to be loved is absolutely godly. It's not bad. However, how we meet that need could be pretty bad. So don't fault yourself for the need, but also you got to understand that you can't go meeting your needs in an illegitimate way.
That's true, yes. Yeah. Okay, we have people who are answering
your
question.
All
Linda,
right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Linda.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Sorry about that. Love casts out all fear.
Ding, 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 ding. Perfect
the love.
Love
of God, but he uses people in our lives. And
that's right.
In that case, Steve was right, because if you have a...
Thanks, Linda.
Marriage,
I'll quit rescuing him, Linda.
Linda, I'm with you on this. Keep going.
And you're both keeping your eyes on the Lord, and you've got the love of God, and you've got one
that's
another
what I said.
To hold on to. You can face anything.
That's right.
You're
right,
Linda.
Linda.
You and I are both right.
Well, of course we are, Steve.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Linda. You should call more often.
Yeah.
No matter who our guest is.
Particularly if you say Steve is right.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Have a great day.
You too, Linda.
Thanks,
thank you.
I appreciate that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, she tied it in exactly.
Perfect
with what
love
you were
casts
thinking.
Out all fear. That's where I want to go today.
Okay.
Come on, Rich. You can still answer the
Rich,
question.
Good morning.
That was my answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
good.
Will you get it right too, Rich?
I
you get it right too.
I wish we had a prize for you, but it's just a satisfaction of knowing you got it right and I didn't.
The prize is that after 20 years of not really believing God loved me, because in order to be loved, you have to be honest and real with people and God.
Yes.
And the fear of rejection...
Yes.
It's so powerful that you live this lie all your life, and so you're not loved perfectly.
That's right.
And when you take the plunge into just being brutally honest or transparent, it's amazing. It's like the floodgates just opened up, and God takes 20 steps to your half a step.
Yes. Excellent,
okay.
Rich. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
You too, Rich. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about today is that, look, Perfect love casts out all fear. Let's talk about fear for a second. Fear paralyzes, right? Mm-hmm. When you're fearful, you're all locked up. You can't move. You can't decide. You can't go. You're afraid something bad's going to happen. And, hey, you may have enough experiences to say, yeah, darn right it's going to be bad because I look at my past. Look how bad it's been. But here, fear freezes us up. It locks us up. It paralyzes us. So how does love deal with fear? How does that perfect love be the antidote for fear? I think it works something like this. In all my years of counseling and life in general, I see God using one tool to change people. Conviction. Mm. I've never been convicted painlessly.
Yeah, that's true.
So what we think is if my life is painless, I'm doing good. Well, and again, I don't want anybody to think this. Nothing wrong with painless. I like painless. But I also know in this world of sin and in this carnal heart, which we all have, that God's conviction is absolutely necessary. So for me to change, I have to be revealed. I have to be exposed. The truth of the matter has to be seen. If I am not perfectly loved by God, if I don't know that, as Rich said, if I don't know that I know that I know that I know that God's love for me is immovable, then it's going to be very hard for me to overcome things.
Well, and I think when we go through those rough times, the questions then we have is, wow, what have I done wrong? What is wrong with this? And you're saying, look, let's take a look at it as that growth and learning experience.
Yeah, and so God is – here's the thing. Bad things happen. I believe that a lot of people totally get that God is in control. I think the question comes is, God is both in control and good. Nobody really doubts his control, but a lot of people doubt his goodness.
Right. Yep.
And why would you doubt his goodness? And here's the question that I get a lot. Well, if God's so good, why is there evil? Well, the reason there's evil is because Satan was thrown out of heaven and thrown down to earth.
And free will and all those things that we say we should have rights to.
And so as a result, God doesn't do evil. Never. Does evil exist? Sure. So how does God involve himself in evil? He doesn't, except for he's the only entity in the universe that can bring redemption to the evil that you have had done to you. So my father was abusive. I believe that was evil. Okay? God didn't prevent it. He could have. I believe he could have. But for whatever reason, he didn't. So what's God's role in it? God's role in it is that he was with me through it all, even when I didn't know it. And today, I can tell you very clearly that God is the redeemer of that evil. And I would not be sitting here today if it weren't for God's initiation, his follow-through, and his moving me out of the trauma of that experience to where I'm at today. It wasn't because I was willing. God's basically one of my favorite musicians. He says, I was a drug baby. Big Mama drug me to church every Sunday. You know, God, in essence, I believe, drugged me here. I wasn't willing most of the time. I'm resisting at every corner. So it's a great, great freeing truth to understand that the God in heaven who controls all things sees me as his son and will only do redemptive work in me. But here's the thing. Redemption is not painless. So you cannot equate pain-free with love. Look, if you love someone, you can't have an intimate relationship with them without conflict. Why is conflict necessary? Well, because without conflict, you resolve nothing.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So do I say that you should live in conflict all the time? No, but conflict is a natural part of an intimate relationship. So somewhere along the line in our culture, maybe even in the church, we've been told that nothing should ever be hard. Nothing should ever be painful. But when you read the scripture, just take the New Testament, just leave the Old Testament out. Do you see a bunch of happy, no pain lives?
Right.
No.
And also we've been told, to extend what you're saying, that conflict is bad by its
right.
nature.
Yes.
Just that we shouldn't have conflict. No. We should have a group hug.
Right. Exactly.
Without realizing that's not necessarily how God works, because there's all sorts of conflict.
Right. So
conflict within ourselves because of what he's convicting us.
That's right. And so, and a lot of times you see that working out in irritation or, you know, shortness or whatever.
And you know what? You just hit on it right there, isn't it? It's how you deal with it.
That's
right. It's not the conflict.
Exactly. It's what you do. So here's the thing. God says the difference between a righteous man and a wicked man is though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up.
Mm-hmm.
So in Christ, in the gospel, we have absolute, total, without a doubt, 100% forgiveness. God does not hold anything against us. In fact, he has satisfied his wrath on the cross so we can get up every time. So the difference between somebody who's living well and somebody who's not is, are you getting up? It's not whether or not you're going to sin. That's going to happen. This is a foregone conclusion. Don't even think that you're not. Okay? And I'm sorry for those people who believe in sinless perfection. It's completely a lie. It's not true. You cannot be sinlessly perfect on this side of heaven. So you got to get up. Now, how does that relate to Valentine's Day? How does that relate to love?
Uh-huh.
The holiday where we emphasize loving relationships. Well, loving relationships are not mostly about warm fuzzies. Because loving relationships are really the result of personal conviction and humility. You cannot love another person effectively, underscore, embolden, and italicize effectively. You cannot love another person effectively if you yourself are in total conflict, if you yourself are not well. Okay? So how do you get the help you need to have some peace so that you can actually connect to another human being? So if you're connecting to others because you have needs, it's never going to work out. Because you're connecting out of desperation. Desperation always clouds your vision, always lowers the bar. It's not a good way to motivate. Okay? So that's why God says, come to me. I will give you what you need. God himself can give you the love that you so desire that then you can share with others. So here's one of my things. Let's just talk about marriage for a second. All right, guys, if you're listening, I'm gonna put you on the hook. I'm going to take you off the hook. Look, God gave men who are married a job we cannot do. He said, I want you to cherish your wife by loving her, not by domineering her, the way I do the church. Well, God fails to remember what a carnal, sinful, self-centered person I am. I'm not going to cherish another human being on my own. That's not possible. So here's the deal. If I am cherished by God as a husband, I know that God loves and cherishes me, then I have something to give to my wife. If I don't have that, I can't cherish her, and I can't muster that up or fake it. I mean, I can go through the motions, but women see through that. So chocolate and flowers and vacations and weekends away, all are really meaningless if there's no connection. And this is where, as men, we struggle because we are programmed in a lot of ways not to connect. Stay aloof, compete, do your job, don't let them see you sweat, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. This whole idea of dependence is antithetical to men as a rule. But in the economy of God, I'm telling you this, the pinnacle of spirituality is brokenness, not togetherness. Okay? So as a man, you want to change the culture? Find some intimacy with God and become a vessel of true strength, true love. Okay? Again, and I'm not saying that like, dun-da-da, forever now I'll always be truly loving and kind. And no, it's a struggle every single day. So just forget you're ever going to plateau. There's no plateau this side of heaven. I don't know where we get that idea. Jesus never said that. He never said, believe in me and I'll make your life better. He didn't say that. He said, I came to bring a sword. If they killed me, what do you think they're going to do to you? I mean, these are not the platitudes we hear a lot, but Jesus was saying very clearly, what I'm calling you to isn't a cakewalk. I will do the work. I will give you the power, God says. But it's going to cost you something. So here's what I see happening. Because we're not loved ourselves very well, the love we have between each other, both in terms of fellowship with the church and in terms of our marriages and in terms of our children, a lot of it's very self-centered because we're so struggling. We're so struggling to find, and then we start using those relationships as ways to feel better. That's exceedingly selfish.
Well, you know, one thing that that Bob just had talked about even just yesterday, and I think it puts things in perspective, and I think he's right, is that when we're looking at different worldviews, there are some that are trying to make heaven on earth here.
Yeah.
Whereas we realize, and maybe just intellectually, we'd like to think that we have the concept down, but we think intellectually, wait a minute, I know this isn't the end.
Right.
There's eternity to look forward to. But I'm wondering if we don't acknowledge that and then try to create Disneyland in our own, 40 by 60 lot at home.
You know? Yeah, well, I
think... Well, I'm going to create a perfect world here anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead, but you're not going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because last I checked, sin abounds. Somebody the other day was asking me, how's business? And I'm like, well.
People are still sinning?
Yeah.
I'm still in business.
I'm kind of like an undertaker, As long as there's sin and people are hurting each other, they'll probably be work for me.
Mm.
And that's not, Jesus, Jesus himself said, look, you're going to always have the poor with you. I'm not going to fix that. Not this time. The new heavens and the new earth, everything's going to be different. But this time you're going to live in the midst of the world. I want you to be in the world, but not of it. So how do I be a loving, fear-reducing, check that out. How do I be a loving, fear-reducing influence? Okay? If people are afraid of you, what does that say? If people can't approach you, if they feel scared to open up to you, what does that say? And how does that reflect Christ?
Yeah.
Now you look in the New Testament, you see people who are absolutely dead to rights, totally wrong. The woman who was caught in adultery. She's thrown down in front of him and, he writes something in the dirt. I think I figured out what it is, by the way. I think what Jesus wrote
I think you've got it.
Yeah,
down.
I do. I think what Jesus wrote is, "Where's the dude?"
"Where's the dude?"
Yeah. Yeah, because if she was caught in adultery,
in Hebrew, of course.
Yeah, exactly. The law said they both should be brought. Mm. She was the only one there. So he's like, you can't do this. Anyway, long story short, they all run away, and Jesus is standing there, and she's like, and he says to her, "Where are your accusers?" She's like, "None except you." And now Jesus is the one who wrote the law that said she should be killed. He's perfect in every way, has every right in the world to kill her, does he? No. He says, "Neither do I condemn you." Why? I'm like, dude, perfect opportunity. You're God. You're perfect. She's totally wrong. Work out the law, man. No. Jesus didn't kill her. He said, "I don't condemn you either. Now go on and don't do this anymore." And so that's God. Now, the Pharisee who said, "I got it all together, God. We're doing it all right." And what did he say to them? "You guys are crazy. You guys don't got this. You guys are two-faced. You guys are, liars. You're snakes. You're dead man's bones." He was hard on them. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they thought they had it together. So that's another indication throughout the New Testament. You see Jesus saying, look, people who understand who he is, that he is God, and that they are needy and dependent, he's right there with them. He doesn't cast them off. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't look over his glasses at them. He doesn't give them a five-step plan for perfection and spiritual maturity. He says, "Come on, just hang out. Come here with me." So listen, you're not going to find peace or love or a antidote to fear by doing better. You're going to find an antidote to fear by going to God in absolute honesty. I like what Rich said. By opening the door, being transparent, saying, "Okay, God, here's the deal. I am really mad about this. I'm really hurt about this. I'm overwhelmed by this. I don't know what to do with this." And just being completely transparent. Here's the deal. Two things that are precursors to intimacy. One is risk. Mm. And risk creates vulnerability, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have intimacy with somebody else without risk and vulnerability, nor can you with God. Now, with God, it's not really a risk because he's perfect. But here's the deal. We don't always see it that way. Mm-hmm. We almost say intellectually, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then if I look at your behavior and you never talk to him, I know you don't believe that. So you can say it all you want. But until your behavior follows up with what you say, then I know it's not true. That's what I say to people all the time. Don't listen to what people say. Watch what they do. You'll find out what's really going on. So here's the thing. I want you to go to God and say, God, look, I am fearful. I don't know what to do. I was hurt. I have been mistreated. I have been let down. I have been abandoned. I don't know if you're going to really be there. I don't know that I trust you. Be honest about that. Ask God to reveal himself. Ask God to etch himself into your heart. I'm telling you, when he does, something happens that you cannot undo. A confidence reveals itself because you know that you know that you know that you are loved. And it has nothing to do with your abilities or your accomplishments. It has to do with the fact that he made you and you are his child. The God of the universe has made you his child. And he is going to treat you as a son, a dearly loved son. And he says, look, I'm going to give you everything I give Jesus. My son, you get everything. Same as him. You're adopted in. Really? You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. But we wrestle with that because our lives reveal very difficult circumstances. I mean, everybody that I know has had difficulty. One common denominator among all of humanity, pain. Perfect love casts out all fear. There's only one source of perfect love. It's not you. It's not me. It's not our relationships. It's not our children. It's God. So that's the place that you start if you want to be truly loving. This Valentine's Day, give your loved ones the greatest gift of love by you getting love from God so that then you can share that with them. You can't on your own muster up the love that you need. What you're going to muster up is duty, work, you know, taking care, those kind of things. That's not love.
To try to prove that you have that, yeah.
Those might seem like loving actions, but if they're done to try to get something, that's not love. Hmm. Love, for example, God sent Christ. What did he get out of that? What did he gain personally? God, when he did it, was absolutely, totally, without a doubt, 100% satisfied and perfect, lacking and needing nothing. He still remains to be that way. Okay? So that is true perfect love. We don't have that. We're not capable of that. If we don't get it from him, we don't have it. So I'm encouraging you this Valentine's Day, do yourself a favor and be God's Valentine. He's already made it possible for you as his child to be deeply and intimately loved like you can't even imagine. And I'm asking you to test me on this. Try it. Check it out. Just go to a quiet place where nobody can hear you and nobody can see you. So it's absolutely anonymous. And have it out. And I encourage people to have it out with their vocal cords. Say it out loud. Whatever it is, no editing. Be honest. Do you think God doesn't already know what you're thinking? He's not surprised. But when you take the risk to be vulnerable in front of him, and instead of getting knocked into next week, you get swooped up and loved, I guarantee you that's going to change who you are. Scripture says, no one who sees God remains the same. You can't change by self-will. It is the Holy Spirit that does the changing. So I want to encourage folks not to shy away from that, but to lean into it. Be honest with God. Don't run away. This Valentine's weekend, lean into him first. Then take that love and shower it with your loved ones, whoever they are. Mm. And I guarantee you'll have a very different Valentine's Day.
Excellent. Good. Hey, how can people get in touch with you?
They can call me at 622-6018. That's my office number. And they can visit veritascounseling.com.
All right.
I have some of my radio shows archived there if they want to listen.
Okay. Patrick Doyle, thanks for being here, man.
Hey, thank you.